Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which is a tale of spiritual awakening, spiritual communication, healing, miracles, and a guide to your inner soul awareness. Today I am most delighted to welcome Dr. Mark Thurston, author of Discovering Your Soul's Purpose, and to talk about the medical clairvoyant Edgar Cayce, who left the world a wealth of intuitive readings on everything from health and spirituality to psychology and past lives. Hello, Dr. Thurston, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Mark, as listeners of Healing From Within are well aware, my guests and I share our intimate experiences in search of the truth of our being, an awareness of higher consciousness, and the dimensions of eternal life and energy as we discover our human and divine potential to experience joy, health, and prosperity. In today's episode of Healing From Within, it is my pleasure to talk with Mark, an educator, psychologist, and author of many books on personal spirituality, psychology, meditation, and mind-body well-being, including The Essential Edgar Cayce. Mark worked for the Association for Research and Enlightenment, known as ARE, and Atlantic University in Virginia Beach for 36 years. In 2009, he became the director of educational programs for George Mason University Center for the Advancement of Well-Being, where he teaches courses on consciousness, mindfulness, and the science of well-being. Mark, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood, to remember a person, a place, or event that left a lasting imprint on them and which guides them now in adulthood. I am reminded of the story of Edgar Cayce as a young boy on a horse with his grandfather, and the horse fell, and his grandfather was on the ground, but Edgar saw him walking away. Already a sensitive, intuitive, gifted child, and only about 3 years old, he was able to see spirit. I didn't read about Edgar Cayce until I had already studied Reiki energy healing in New York at the Association for Research and Enlightenment. But please tell us something about your earliest remembrance, because I believe our plan is set and our soul only has to remember itself.
Well, the first thing that came to my mind a moment ago when you sort of described that prompt, just kind of spontaneously popped up, was being 9 years old and being at church. And surprisingly, at the end of a Sunday school class, the minister visited our class and gave each of us a Bible of our own. I remember how proud I was of my Bible. And so through my grade school years and even teenage years, I was very involved with my church. But I was also really interested in science and mathematics. And there was sort of this divide within me as a young man when I was in my late teenage years. And I think finding metaphysics and Edgar Cayce's work and the New Thought movement, some of these metaphysical philosophies helped me sort of bridge what felt like a divide within myself, that I could be a person of science and a person of the spirit also.
Yes, I had the same thing. In college, I studied religion and science, education, philosophy, because I knew, I felt there was something more that I hadn't been told or hadn't learned intellectually, but something that was very important nonetheless. And I wasn't raised religiously or in a home that believed in an afterlife or spoke much about energy. And over time, we do awaken. We have opportunities, and somewhere along the line, we do answer the call. So tell us more about Edgar Cayce and how he influenced your work as a spiritual psychologist.
Yes. Well, Edgar Cayce's last name is spelled Cayce. For those that might be hearing about him for the first time, it's an unusual spelling of his name. He was born in 1877. He died in 1945. And for those first 45 years of the 20th century, he was a leading figure in, I think, bringing an integration of Eastern and Western thought. He had a holistic view of the physical body and health and healing. He was an advocate for meditation practices. He found a way of integrating reincarnation thinking with the Judeo-Christian tradition. He's probably best known for his health work. For the first 20 years that he used his clairvoyant gift, it was around diagnosing and giving natural remedies to people who had seemingly incurable physical ailments. And he could do this by putting himself into a prayer-induced trance-like state, and he could answer questions that were asked of him. And there was always somebody present to stenographically write down what he was saying, and then it would be typed up. And we have the archival records of more than 14,000 of these discourses or readings.
Right, and they're still being used now to help people who have
sure,
similar
yeah.
conditions
right.
to find ways, alternative ways, to work with their challenges, health challenges, or other challenges. So that's really,
exactly.
really wonderful. And I know he believed that each person had a particular soul purpose. And, you know, about 20 years ago, I had a dream, and I felt my grandfather, who had passed many, many years before, and I couldn't see him, but I felt him. I knew it was him. He told me to write something for my father. And when I awoke, I wasn't quite sure what had happened. But the next day, my mom called, and she informed me that my father had passed away. And so I wrote his eulogy without putting it together. At the time, I didn't believe in an afterlife or past lives, as I was very much a practical girl of the physical world. Even though as a child I had been extremely sensitive and knew there was much more than I was being taught by my family and teachers. So as I realized and used my medical intuitive abilities and did readings for people and learned more about Edgar Cayce, I felt more and more like I was following his instruction and work style. Yeah, and then I think back to something that happened to me when I was very young that made no sense, but now as an adult it does. When I was about 8 years old, I heard a big noise at the kitchen window. We lived above a store, and I ran to it, and I saw a man jumping out of the truck, and I was so glad he was okay. But later I found out that he had died. So what did I see leaving the truck? So when I was a young mother, I was driving down a busy street, and I heard a loud noise in front of me and saw a young boy flying up in the sky. And I later found out that the boy had died. So I didn't fully understand those experiences until about 15 years ago when I began my healing practice and readings for people, and also about reading about Edgar Cayce, what he saw with his grandfather. So always sensitive to energy and soul. But we don't always have the language or the experience to express it clearly yet. So I have embraced his work, and I have found great joy in serving and helping others to find their soul awareness, as have you. And I just thought I've never had a chance to really share those stories and
yeah.
until today, and I knew you would appreciate hearing that. So why
I think there were some really important themes in which you were talking about just then, especially that everybody's mission or calling has some way of contributing to the well-being of the whole, the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
And Edgar Cayce's philosophy strongly advocates a sense of service and identifying our core talents and abilities and finding ways that we can make a contribution, ways that we can serve in the world.
But I was doing that even before I knew all that we're talking about here. I was.
Yeah.
I always wanted to make people happier. But I cried a lot, too, because I felt all the pain and anxiousness of other people. And, of course, I didn't understand that, you know, that's an empathic quality, But in other words, yes, we all want to do these things. Some of us just have a stronger need to get started earlier. But whenever you start, for our listeners out there, whenever you have a feeling to start something new, don't be afraid. Just say yes, and it will lead you forward into many wonderful discoveries. So why have you written a new edition of Discovering Your Soul Purpose?
So the first book came out in 1984, and it was published after I'd been working in some depth with the KC readings about finding a life purpose for 7 or 8 years, and I'd done a lot of workshops for the ARE and different audiences, and I felt like I'd learned enough that I could write a book about it. But 30 years have passed in the interim. I've had a chance to do many, many more workshops and conferences on this topic. For the last 9 years, I've been teaching university students about some of these same themes, and I feel like they have re-inspired me about the importance of people finding their calling. And I think there's also, in the last 30 years, a considerable amount of social science research around how people go about finding meaning in life. And some of these research findings resonate very nicely with some of the principles in Edgar Cayce's psychology.
Absolutely. Yeah, and this is a different time, and there is seemingly a spiritual awakening for many, many people. You know, in the older days when he lived, I guess he was ostracized a great deal by some of the thoughts that he expressed. Because
right.
I've even right. here, and you may have also experienced some people who just are afraid to open themselves up to what they can't see. Metaphysically, that's energy or spirit. It's beyond the physical, and you have to have a great deal of faith and trust in order to open up those channels. So it's still, we're working on it, and there are many, many people now working with these thoughts and helping people in these ways. So I think it's a wonderful thing, and your book expresses it quite clearly. And I think there's a deeper or more personal reason maybe for the revision of this book. I think you've been re-inspired by working perhaps with younger people. Is that a possibility?
For sure. It's really a blessing for me to get to work with young adults who are roughly the same age I was when I first began to meditate and study my dreams and start looking for my own soul purpose. So there's a certain positive karma here in being a mentor and a teacher, just as I had mentors and teachers when I was that age.
Absolutely. Yes, it's a wonderful thing to be around young people, to experience their energy, their enthusiasm, and to share some of the wisdom that we've gathered along the way, because they are the future. And it'll become more and more obvious as time goes by just who we are as spiritual beings having this physical life. And that's a wonderful thing. So tell us how one would use your system of self-study to yield a revelation of soul purpose. And it's for anyone committed to giving it a try. It's really for everyone and anyone.
Exactly. Yeah. So Cayce gave more than 14,000 of these discourses or readings that were recorded, and we have records of them. About 2,000 of them were given for individuals who were lost and confused and sort of longing to find a deeper sense of meaning in life. And I think I've read almost all of those readings in preparing to write the first book and the second edition. And what I see in those examples is sort of a template that Edgar Cayce followed when he acted as a spiritual advisor to folks about how they could find their soul purpose. And so I've tried to structure the book so that you could lead yourself through those same 5 steps. And the first step is to clarify your core values, your spiritual ideal, recommit to what you hold as your core beliefs. And that provides a kind of foundation for the work that's going to follow. Second step Casey, in a reading, was able to use his clairvoyance to sort of look deeply into the psychology, into the soul of someone, and identify what he could see as their most essential talents and abilities and skills, things that were going to be most critical in shaping the nature of their purpose or their mission. But I think we can do some self-exploratory exercises and kind of take stock of ourselves and come up with the same answers that he would have given us. The third step is to create a first draft of a mission statement. And I say first draft because I think this gets refined over the weeks and over the months, but to try to take the key talents and strengths and abilities and to think how they could work together, how they could constellate or be configured in such a way that they build on each other, and to see what kind of a service or what kind of a contribution to the greater good those core talents and skills really have to offer, and to put that into a one-sentence kind of mission statement. We're probably familiar with how businesses and organizations nowadays seem to have a mission statement. In a similar way, we can have a personal one. The fourth step in Casey's template for a life reading was to come up with an application plan, because it's not good enough just to have a statement of the mission. You got to do something with it. And so we need sort of baby step, bite-sized applications. What am I going to do next, over the next 30 days, over the next 2 months? What would be some ways I could apply this mission in my job, in my family relations, in my community, in the way I treat myself? And actually write some of these down as target behaviors for several months, let's say. The final step in the template is to watch for reinforcing signs, which Edgar Casey said would happen more often in your life when you're on track with your calling.
Yeah, Mark, we might call that faith, or the actual experience of unseen reality, coincidences, synchronicity, developing clairvoyance, or just not perhaps developing it, but it's there and being more aware and using it positively. So that was faith for Edgar Casey. It's a matter of having direct encounters with the realm of soul and a calling from deep within. So that's when you have that experience. And Edgar Casey had a very prayerful affirmation which provides a foundation for understanding his approach to finding personal mission. And it addresses free will and the importance of making a contribution to the well-being of others and also the sense of calling. Would you like to tell us that affirmation, or should I read it?
Yes, let me ever be a channel of blessings today, now, to those I contact in every way. Let my going in and coming out be in accord with that thou would have me do. And as the call comes, here am I, send me, use me.
Yeah, that's so beautifully
said. Yeah, a high ideal.
And it's the truth of how people who wish to serve and understand energy and spirit, how it works, how it channels through you, and how in every moment when you call on it, it sustains you. So I love that. I wanted you to say that. What does it feel like to practice self-acceptance? Many people are struggling with self-esteem and self-confidence, and they feel trapped in their circumstances. So what does it mean to practice it? Yeah, they just feel often trapped, but self-acceptance gives you another arena to perform in, to live in, to be joyful in. So how would you describe it?
Well, I think many people have more trouble asserting their strengths and their gifts than they do describing what's wrong with themselves. That's kind of the sad commentary, as you were saying. So I invite people to imagine how someone who loves them and cares about them sees them. So if I think about somebody who really knows me deeply and really cares about me, if they were going to make a list of my qualities, what would they list in that view? And in a sense, what I'm doing is imagining what I can see in myself, but it's through this little exercise of it being somebody else. And until we can make friends with ourselves, I think it's really hard for us to live a soul purpose, because we're going to get so caught up in the patterns of limitation and self-doubt and self-sabotage.
Absolutely, yeah. So let's go on to what about meaning? That's an important word. And the soul.
Well, it seems to me that just as our physical bodies need air and water and food, the soul needs a sense of meaning. But
yes.
It's the sustenance for the soul. And I'm particularly fond of Viktor Frankl's work, which I think has a nice parallel to Edgar Cayce's. And Frankl said, rather than the will to pleasure, as Freud said, or the will to power, as Alfred Adler said, we should realize that the deepest drive in us is a will to meaning. Something in us is longing for and hungry for meaning. And Frankl's an extraordinary story because he was in a Nazi concentration camp where virtually all of his family died, and yet he survived, and he found meaning even in that horrific experience. And he went on to become a famous psychiatrist and develop logotherapy, which is about how we can find meaning in our lives. He says, rather than ask, what should I expect of life? He says, ask, what does life expect of me?
Yes, beautiful, and yeah. That was a
really
wonderful
is,
story.
Yeah.
Beautiful, wonderful story in your book, among other people that you mentioned with wonderful stories. And in regard to this thought of soul and meaning, in my book, The Living Spirit, I wrote, in continuing our quest for personal truth, along with our goal to hear the whispers, experience beautiful thoughts, and sense the feelings of peace that may reside in our soul and body, a pleasant feeling of cooperation between body, mind, and soul can be achieved to bring about a future reality of substance. Practicing meditation and asking spirit for help during that silent time will help us learn about our life plan, opening the way to a personal understanding of what is needed for achieving a life of joy. Now, many of the things you and I are saying are being downloaded by spirit to people who are opened. And they're similar in thought and sometimes in words, because they're just simply the truth. And it's the truth for me as it's the truth for you and many of our listeners. So I think it's a beautiful thing. It doesn't matter that Edgar Cayce lived and was born in the 1800s. Server or one person who works with spirit comes and one goes, but it's always here for all of us. The,
yeah.
the energy is here for all of us. Why might it be even more relevant in this challenging 21st century to use the spiritual and psychological insights of renowned mystic and psychic Edgar Cayce?
Well, I think in some ways the stakes have never been higher. And I think what you just read from your own writing a moment ago was very eloquent in its expression of just how important this is. I want to underscore your reference to joyfulness and to meditation. Joy was one of the characteristics that your Cayce said would happen in our lives more often when we're living our calling. And I liked your emphasis on having a meditative life. And probably more than any other discipline, having a daily reflective practice, a meditative practice, is crucial if we're going to deal with the stress of daily living, if we're going to stay inspired, if we're going to be able to kind of harness the gifts of the soul and be about our work.
Absolutely. And you know, I know, and you know, Edgar Cayce did not have an easy life. He had many, many challenges, but his spirit, and in his picture, when you just look at his face, you see the light and you see the courage, the soul courage that's there. And Mark, you wrote, Cayce went on to suggest that within the ordinary aspects of life, something extraordinary can happen. In other words, making life great does not necessarily mean doing great things in the eyes of mainstream society. For example, something remarkable stands out about those few individuals who receive praise in their life readings from Edgar Cayce's clairvoyant source. Praise that stated that they were on track with their real purposes in life. Most often they were plain common people who were quietly fulfilling their potential for service and creativity.
Yeah.
And that's That's the truth of what we're looking. We don't have to look for it. It's already there. We were born with our soul purpose. All we have to do is remember the magnificence of our soul journey and the eternal nature of our life. And we can conquer so much of the fear that has been given to us in our earlier life, in our training from our parents, our teachers. They didn't mean, of course, to do that. But in living with a physical reality, sometimes that happens. Now, what are some of the hindrances to finding your purpose?
I think one hindrance can try to do it solo. We need each other, and each of us needs to sort of find our tribe or find our group. Sometimes it's just one or two other people.
Yes.
We need each other to be successful with our missions. And so sort of finding the support that you need and also being a support to others. So I think the lone ranger kind of attitude, I think, can be a hindrance. I think self-doubt can be a hindrance. And an unwillingness to take some risks. I think when we don't have some courage and some willingness to take prudent risks, it can block us.
Yes, absolutely. Now, you also mentioned Carl Jung, because I've always been drawn to these ideas that Casey's work seems parallel to Jung's. Can you tell us something about that?
So I think in many ways it was. They were born just 2 years apart. Jung was born 2 years before Casey, 1875. And they didn't know each other. I don't think they even knew of each other's work. But both had a sense that there's sort of a three-level model for the mind, a conscious mind, and then a personal subconscious or unconscious, and then a deeper level. Casey called it the superconscious, and Jung called it the collective unconscious. And just as Casey said, we are here to fulfill a life purpose, Jung said everybody's here to try to individuate or to become a whole person.
Yes.
So lots of emphasis on becoming whole and connecting, becoming one with oneself. Oneness is such a key principle in Casey's philosophy. In a similar way, in Jung's psychology, it's the principle of wholeness.
Yeah, and Jung also talked about the first cycle of our life with developing a healthy persona, and the second part,
yeah,
which would be to be able to do what we're talking about here. I want to thank you from the deepest part of my soul and intellect, Dr. Mark Thurston, for sharing with us today your revised edition of Discovering Your Soul Purpose, a lifetime of experience with Edgar Casey's profound exploration of human and divine purpose in a most thoughtful, truthful, and accessible way for readers to find their personal soul mission. To purchase this book, go to markthurston.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have studied and talked about a few of the leaders in the field of psychology, energy medicine, and spirituality, the past wonders, themes of reincarnation, and finding one's soul calling in life. We have examined a technique to further this path of self-awareness and soul life. On page 112 in your book, I share another very profound coincidence with you, Mark. You tell of a beautiful book that illustrates this human capacity for truth and the direct experience of soul purpose in Greg Levoy's book, Callings. Levoy found that some people experience their call by a set of synchronistic occurrences or a prayer or a life-changing dream. My son is Greg. My maiden name is Levy. And so Greg Levoy's book, like my own books, Life is No Coincidence and The Living Spirit, are the memories of the soul following in this life and beyond, and the calling and journey of our individual soul and collective consciousness. So when I saw that, I said, someone upstairs loves us. and
That's
likes
great.
us and likes us very
That's great.
much and likes to
Yes.
keep us laughing and amusing us. Mark and I would have you pay attention to the events and people in your life, and through observation and engaging that which calls to you, continue to experience the joy of interconnected life energy, love and purpose, and have a good time as well. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to read and listen to authors as they search their minds, hearts, and souls, their experiences, to find a true view of life in all its realities and energies. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.